vines. Yes, amen. And I thank the Lord for that wonderful, wonderful experience that my Lord loves me, cares for me, and he walks with me. Thank the Lord. I sometimes wonder, does he walk with me or do I walk with him? I believe I walk with him. You see, he's not going to walk my way. I've got to walk his way. Amen. So I walk with him by his invitation. Thank the Lord. And how wonderful it is to be a Christian tonight and to love the Lord. Thank the Lord. It's so good for all of you to be here. And I trust that the Lord will make this service a blessing to your heart and to your life. God wants to give us something for our being, for each one of us to take home with us tonight. Not because we just happen to come here, but because he loves us and we've come to honor him. Remember this. We often, you know, we refer to ourselves, oh yes, I was in the audience or I was in the congregation. And that's good and true. But you know what we need to be? Is to be in the worshiping group. We need to be in the worshiping group. Now, as we worship, we don't recognize audience as such, if you want to call it that. We don't recognize the congregation as such, but we just recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, and we worship him. Thank the Lord. And when you and I come, thank God ever to worship him, it doesn't matter where we are when we come to worship him. He's there, and we're there, and together, we have a good time together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. And we don't worship him, and don't misunderstand me in the analogy here. We don't worship him as a group, if you see what I mean. We worship him as individuals, and he puts the group together, and then everybody worships him as individuals, and it comes up as one sound and one honor and one glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about the men and the women on the day of Pentecost. There they were. They were in one accord. They weren't in one mind. Didn't say anything about that, but it said they were in one accord, in one place, and they were busy worshiping the Lord. And when the Lord came down, every one of them got a blessing. Thank the Lord. And his mercy flowed out over their lives. So that's how we worship God. That's how we trust in him and work in his vineyard, just to be what he wants us to be. Praise the Lord for the victory in Jesus Christ tonight. I don't know whether you feel him here tonight, but I do. I feel his presence around. Thank God. And because he's here, I'm happy. Amen. Because he's here, I know that all is well. Glory be to God. And we trust him for everything tonight. And if you'll turn with me tonight in the book of Timothy, the 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, I know that had Brother Ray been here, he would have been in the book of Revelation that would have brought us maybe something along this very same line. I don't know. But the Lord has given me this, and I want to talk with you about it a little while tonight. It's something that is it's been talked about time and time and time again, but let's review it in our minds. Let's review it in our hearts tonight, because this is the Lord's Word, and God's Word never grows old. It never is outdated. It never is passé. It's always alive. Thank God. And if we'll open our hearts and lives to him, he makes us alive through his word. Glory to God. Well, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Let's look at this in the third chapter of 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 7. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it, from such turn away. For of this sort are they who creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I just want to use that as a starting point, as a starting place. I'm not going to talk on that particularly. as such. But I want to read this because I feel this in the air tonight. I feel this time in the air tonight. And if we look up to the Lord and begin to trust in Him, some way, somehow, He makes known that He is coming, is very near at hand. And as we begin to think what this means to us as individuals and as a church, it makes us think very deeply about what God has in store for this world and what God has in store for those who love Him. The scene in our present life, you know, we've read this scripture, and you've read it time and time again. But the scene is now set in this present world for the appearing and for the operation of the Antichrist. Everything is in just about in perfect order. Everything is moving along so that he can establish himself, not of his own power. Remember this, it's God permitting him to do it. But he's moving into this world. He's moving among people tonight. And he's moving in a way that, and much more rapidly than you and I possibly think about it. When he appears on this scene, it's going to be time that you and I really know whom we believe. It's going to be time that you and I really know whom we trust. For it's going to take the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our hearts to make it available, make that delivering power and grace available to us. It doesn't matter how much we may profess. It doesn't matter how much we may say. It's going to count then as how much do we really possess down in our hearts and lives. When that thing comes and begins to move, there will be but one escape, and that's through the precious blood and the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And whatever men may say, it's going to take that to stand in that dark hour. And our nation is computerized today. Not only the nation, but the world. While we were over in India, they were talking about and discussing getting new computers, getting greater computers. They have those that are of the generation back. But they said, we want a current up-to-date one. We want to get one that can get the job done. So the world is looking to computers tonight, looking to something that can do things in a hurry and do it in a way that there probably won't be any particular mistakes mathematically or in that sort of way. We're computerized. We have television. We're televised. We've got the universal satellite system, and that age is here upon us. These things are flowing through the world tonight, and whether we can accept it or not, this is getting the position for you and me to face that the Antichrist can move suddenly. He can appear and every eye can see him. Every mind can suddenly perceive that there is a power moving in this world that men and women need to either go with or beware of. And I want to be among the number that will beware of that thing and stand back from it and hold to the faith that's in Jesus Christ our Lord. That you and I can have a way of escape is certain in him. Now in this present world, people are regimented. They're in a position that it wouldn't take very much. It would take very little to change them suddenly from a people that have a certain amount of freedom until suddenly there is no freedom. Till suddenly all liberty is taken away. That could happen very suddenly, and if you think it couldn't, you just think for a moment, suppose that all the food was taken away. Suppose all the ability to buy was taken away. Suppose that all the ability to go to and fro were suddenly taken away. That would be one of the great incentives to bring men and women to their knees before this great and terrible thing that's going to happen to this world. I didn't intend to talk along that line other than just as a matter of touching it. But I want you to think about it very definitely, very seriously. This can happen now. We're in what we hear that word called, referred to so often. We're in the now generation. We are in the now generation. This can happen now. If God doesn't hold it back, it can come at any given moment. So you and I need to be prepared, need to be ready to know that God is looking upon this world, and who knows when he may pull back the mercy, pull back the grace, pull back the Spirit of God and loose the dogs of eternal damnation, of eternal fires and eternal hell. Loose them upon this lost, dying world, and men and women will suffer such as they've never suffered before in all their world, in all this world. You know, Paul was disturbed about that in his day and time. And if he were disturbed about it, how much more should you and I be disturbed about it? You remember back in Timothy, in the fifth chapter of Timothy, and not Timothy, but Ephesians, where he wrote it like this. He said, "Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." He was admonishing men back there to be careful, to walk softly, to walk carefully before the Lord. And that was almost 2,000 years ago. And remember this, that the time now is much shorter than when you and I believed. And thank God we must be ready, or it will come upon us unawares. Paul was disturbed about it. He said, awake. And he meant awake. And to you and to me tonight, that should stir our hearts. If a man that many years ago could see this thing coming upon the world and was stirring up his people, stirring up those around about him, saying, be alert, look for Jesus, how much more should you and I have that in our hearts and lives? You know, as we look on the world today, there's never been a generation like this one. There's never been a generation like you and I live in. And I think about the generation, I think of the young people, and I think, oh Lord, what a great thing is before them. What a great and a terrible thing is before them if they don't settle their hearts and minds and lives and center it upon Jesus Christ. How terrible will be the darkness. How great will be the powers of oppression that come from the enemy of the souls of men and women. Oh, that they might have more power in their lives, that they might have more ability to withstand the darkness of this present world and let the light of God shine in their very being. It's not going to be what you and I can do for them, but it's going to be what you and I can hold up before them, that they can see Jesus Christ and put their trust in Him. Hallelujah. No man can shoulder the burden and carry it for another. No individual can shoulder the problems and trials and carry it for another. It takes an individual carrying his own cross, bearing his own burden, and walking before the Lord for himself alone, or he'll never make it. Brother, tonight we're in a generation that needs to know about that. And if you think that isn't true, you just travel around over the country and over the world just a little while, and you'll find it's more true than you've ever thought it could be. You can find that it's more nearly a fact now that utter degradation has touched this world than you could ever have thought about it. There's not a generation like this, and never has been one before. The impact of a world dominated by computers, dominated by television, dominated by space travel, by the loss of all the absolutes of right and wrong, the abandonment of all standards of decency, that's what's dominating this world tonight. That's what's dominating this whole world tonight. They've abandoned every rule of decency. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing bad. There's nothing unclean, they say. But I have news for the world. There are many unclean things. Not only tonight have they abandoned these things, but millions of our people today, not only here, but in other parts of the world where it is available, they're depending on drugs, they're depending on shots, they're depending on pills, they're depending on injections in their bodies to produce something that will carry them out of their present being and get them away from the trials and struggles of trying to live in this world, trying to be what men and women ought to be. They've lost all moral concept by having these things in their bodies, and they don't know what to do. Perilous times are upon us. Hard times are pressing upon us. This is a twisted world. This is a world that has gone astray and gone away from God. And I'll tell you now, it's not only in other parts of the world, but it's right here in Duncan, Oklahoma. It's right here where you and I live, right in our midst. We don't see it. We don't go out there where it is. We don't walk amongst it. But I'll tell you, it's here, and it's bearing upon the life. upon this world. And it'll reach Duncan too. It'll reach Duncan also. There is no escape from that. This is a very crooked world. There's a very radical change that's come about. And there's the very essence of life has been transformed by the will of human beings, by the words of human beings. All the existing social and scientific and philosophical values that we ever had in times past, they've been turned around. They've been changed. They've been pushed aside and say, here, take this other way. Take this other way. It's an alluring way. It's a way that has a lot in it that offers young people a moment of fun, a moment of joy, a moment of something that will take their minds off what's happening otherwise. But it's deadly. It's deadly, and God has pronounced a curse against it. Tonight, you and I need Jesus Christ greater than we've ever needed him before. They have just given what they call total liberation to the unconscious and to the subconscious mind and say, let it run wild. Let it go where it will. Let it do what it wants to do. And you follow your mind. Brother, sister, tonight, this is the hour that we're living in. And as you read in the book of Revelation, you'll come across the very same thing. It's resting on human race tonight. And as we think about this, did you know there are millions of people tonight who are having fun? They say they're having fun. They enjoy this. They revel in it. They live in it. They say, this is the way to live. They don't know any better. And they brag about it. And they talk about it. And they carry the news here and there. And they spread it. They carry it over to this place and to the other place, and they go among the Christian men and women, boys and girls, if you please, and saying, you don't know what you're missing. Come and go with us, and we'll show you a good time. Perilous times are here, and great and heavy burdens are coming to rest upon our lives. Now, if they love what they're doing, do you and I love what we have? Do we love and do we serve God in the righteousness of his holiness? And do we testify? Do we witness that this is the best there is? Do we tell the world? It's easy in here. It's easy in here. 95% of our testimony and witnesses are made to Christian people, and that's a very, very easy thing to do. But do we tell the world that it's lost? Do we tell men and women and boys and girls, we need to come out from under that and serve God in the beauty of holiness? Do we give them a good testimony of what being a Christian really is? Again, we go back to that fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and Paul said, awake, awake. This world is sleeping. I'm not talking about necessarily the sinner man and the sinner woman, the sinner boy and the sinner girl. They don't know anything else. They don't know any better. It has never come to their minds and to their hearts, perhaps, that they need to know Jesus Christ. But it's to the professing Christian, to the professing people who witness and testify among themselves that they are Christians. Oh, tonight we need a deeper, a mightier, a more glorious, and a more powerful testimony among men and women. There is a reality in God. There is a reality in the power of his holiness. Hallelujah to his name. And to do that, it's not my ability. It's not your ability. It's not a compact group of people's ability. It's ability of the Spirit of the living God moving in our lives. And our mouths become his mouth. Our words are his words. And our actions are his actions. And he'll do the job for us. Hallelujah to his name. And I'm glad God sent him down here. I'm glad God sent him among us, because he's able to do it. And you and I would falter and fail. But he'll never fail. He'll never fail. Paul said, awake. Awake. Rise up from the sleep. Come out of the dead. And be alert to the things of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ will give you light. He'll give you light. And why? Who did he put in that? Every one of us. He put us all in that. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And he shines in our lives. And his light is reflected to us. So therefore he will give us light. Thank God for the wonderful things of God. Now, as we look on this thing, it just looks like that everything is hopeless. It looks like I've been talking in the negative section, but there is a positive side of this, and I want to talk about the positive a little while. Thank God for every there. The positive thing is something that makes it rich for your heart and for mine. And if we'll just lean upon Jesus Christ and stay with him, he'll take us through these dark places. I didn't tell you that the dark places wouldn't come. I didn't tell you that the heartaches wouldn't come. But I'm telling you this, thank God forever, that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will walk through the valley with you. He'll go through the heartache with you. He'll lift your burden for you. He'll show you the righteousness of God. And you'll be glad that you trusted in him. You know, you say, well, with this world, all this stuff is happening and there's not one thing I can do about it. Let me ask you a question, and I'm asking myself the very same question. We're at home or at a neighbor's house, and we hear this great warning. The tornado is coming, a tornado. It's headed your way. You better take cover. What do you do about it? What do you do about it? I know what I do. Now and then I go get in that cellar. I get over there and get ready to get away from it. You say, are you afraid? No, not necessarily afraid. And if you don't believe that, and yes, my wife, and the clouds don't worry me very much. But I don't just expose myself needlessly. And I just go right in there. Now, I want to tell you tonight that the cellar, spiritually speaking, the cellar is right near our lives. We see the storm coming. We see the storm clouds gathering. And the alert is out. The alert is out. Be alert. There's a tornado alert. There's a storm alert. There's a powerful alert in the world tonight. Come to Jesus Christ. The cellar door is open, thank God. The door of mercy is open, if you please, tonight. And we can run in there and get out of the storm. Thank God. We can find a resting place. We can find a peace and joy that none ever had except they who trusted in him. Hallelujah. Walking into the Lamb of God and finding the joy and the peace and the comfort that our hearts and lives require in this present world. You say, but how can I have something like that? How can I possess something like that? Would you let me just turn with me right quickly over to the book of Psalms, the 37th chapter. And let's look at that just for a moment. We say, well, I can't do anything about it. But let's see what can be found. In the first, I won't read all of it, but I want to read about the first four verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Now notice, he said, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now notice, he said, trust in the Lord. That's something for you and for me to do, trust in the Lord. But there's more to it than that. It goes further out than just merely trusting in the Lord. That's got a lot of more to it. And notice the next verse that, and this is what I really want to talk about all the time. Notice what the next verse says. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Not only do you trust him, but delight in him. Be delighted in your heart that you belong to him. Be delighted that he's in you. Be delighted that your name is written in heaven. Thank God forever. Have a delightfulness about you because Jesus Christ dwells in your heart and life. And I'm here to tell you tonight that there is a delight in knowing him, thank God. There is a joy in knowing him. There's something strange about that, and yet it's mighty and glorious and beautiful. When we have that delight in our soul, we're not worrying what's going to happen tomorrow. We're not worrying what has happened yesterday. We're merely content with the position we're in right now, for we know that our Redeemer liveth, and I know he's coming back, and I know I shall stand with him in the latter day, thank God forever, and I know that Satan has no power, thank God forever, I've got victory through Jesus Christ my Lord. Glory be to God. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, the world is worried tonight. The whole world is worried tonight. It's almost aflame tonight. But thank God, I've got a God. I've got a Savior that stood in a fireplace that had been made seven times hotter than it ever was before, and he didn't get a scorch on him. I'm trusting in him tonight. Glory. I'm walking in his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So delight in him. Delight in him, thank God. Now, what do you mean delight? You know, that has something to do also. That means you've got to do something. Hallelujah. That means that you've got a point. You've got a choice to do. Now, you think about it. Just delight yourself in the Lord. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Did you ever have a real good friend to come to see you And when that individual come, oh, it was so pleasant and so joyful. Well, here's my good friend. Thank God, brother, I've got one that's closer than a good friend. I've got the best in all of creation, his name is Jesus Christ. And he visits me every now and then. And the joy flows in my heart. Hallelujah. And in yours too. Thank God for it. Now that's the joy that you and I need. Thank God, he said, just delight in the Lord. Now I want to give you a little lesson in verbiage tonight. I'm not a teacher, but I want to give you a lesson just in this little word, delight. Now there is a noun that's the name of something. We're not going to talk about that. There's a verb, and you know a verb is action. Action. That means that you and I must put action to our hearts and lives. Delight yourself. Now delight, it's to take great pleasure or joy. When you delight yourself, you take great pleasure or joy in what you're doing and what you have. Or it's to please greatly. Now, the world has something to offer to the flesh to please the flesh. That's what it's doing. It's pleasing the flesh. And it's offering something to delight the flesh. But thank God forever, I've got one. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And he, thank God forever, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now you think of what that means. I begin to delight in the Lord. I'm delighted because my sins are gone. I'm delighted because I have an invitation to the glorious throne over yonder on the other side. I'm delighted because I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I delight in that, thank God. I rejoice in that. I'm satisfied because my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That makes me feel real good. That makes me rejoice. That gives me good joy way down in my heart to know that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I delight in that. I am happy in that, thank God. I'm satisfied, and my soul is made glad. My flesh, it has to lay down and go to sleep or die. But I delight in the love of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Why? Because I know that in him I have something the world can't give me. I know that I have in him something that's joy, unspeakable and full of glory. I know that in him, even though the great tribulations, the great distresses, the great outpouring of God's wrath comes from God, yet in Jesus Christ I have a hiding place. Thank God forever. And he said, pray that you might be counted worthy to escape these things. And in him I delight with this assurance that I can and will go through and win through him. Hallelujah. Is that worth rejoicing about? Oh, hallelujah. Is that worth, you look back and yes, perilous times are here. Yes, trouble is on every hand. Yes, darkness is rolling in from the east and from the west and from the north and the south. But I'm not looking horizontally. I'm looking vertically, hallelujah. I'm looking up, for my Lord shall come from above and I shall be delivered to him. I delight myself in that assurance, hallelujah. I don't know, I may be talking too long. I don't know. Just about, but I'm wound up. Can I unwind? I want to tell you tonight, there's a reality in knowing Jesus Christ. There's something, thank God forever, that puts a peace down in here. The writer described it, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Thank God for he'll keep you, he'll bless you, he'll comfort you. I delight in that. I delight. I put a little effort. I put a little effort every now and then. I get happy and rejoice because I'm delighting in my Lord. I'm not doing the things that the enemy wants me to do. I'm doing the things that my friend wants me to do. I'm doing the things to the best of my ability that my Savior wants me to do. Thank God. And I feel the joy. I feel the joy down in my heart and life. And what a glory that is. Hallelujah. Yes, the darkness is here. But in the darkness, there's a light. Have you ever been in trouble and you didn't think there was any way out? Ever been in a place that was so, it just seemed like there was nothing? Well, were you ever in a dark room and you fumbled and fumbled and fumbled and couldn't find the switch. And you'd feel, and it was so dark you couldn't see your hand before you. And suddenly you touch the switch and the light come on. Wasn't it a relief? Wasn't it something that made you feel real good? Well, listen, the light of God's love, hallelujah, shines down, and every now and then I can touch the switch, and the light shines, and His glory fills my soul. And oh, what a delight it is to stand in His presence, hallelujah. Glory, come on, hallelujah, hallelujah, Kirk. Well, glory, sir, come on, Brother, I'm telling you that He that called from heaven heard the cry of His children and sent the light down that we might not be in darkness, but in the light of His eternal love. And I'm living in that tonight. Doesn't that make you feel pretty good? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll tell you, that just gets in me, and I don't know how to dispose of it. My mouth's not big enough, but thanks be to God, the Lord is the God of all creation, and He can make it real anyhow. Hallelujah. I may not make it real to you, but God can. Glory to His name. Listen, as we begin to think what these gracious things, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall grant the desires. He didn't say just one, but He said desires, that's many. He shall grant you the desires of your heart. Now, what would you desire? If you're a Christian, what would you desire? If you're a sinner, what do you desire? You think, you begin to put those things side by side and begin to compare them. Now, the sinner desires the low, degraded, base things of the world. He desires to satisfy the flesh. He desires all of the things. Let's see. I was reading a statistic not long ago. And a little 7-year-old boy was in a restaurant. Someone asked him, said, "Well, how do you feel?" And he said, "Well, the last 3-4 days I've been somewhat depressed." A 7-year-old kid, somewhat depressed. How did he get that? Because the flesh had been viewing the TV, that had been hearing the newscast, had been hearing all of the things that were not godly, and that had settled in his mind and in his heart, and he only knew to tell what was in there. But oh, thank God. When you begin to count this and measure it, number against number against number against number, how many children today have been brought up before that sort of thing, and that's all they really know? That's all they really understand. That's all they really have their eyes for. But oh, tonight, there is a remedy. And that remedy is the light of the love of God. And to have that, He said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And if you and I want that child and want those children to know about Jesus Christ, let's delight ourselves in the Lord. And the more we delight in Him, the more His blessings will rest upon us. I see I'm not going to get through with this, and maybe sometime I'll come back again and finish it. But the more that we delight ourselves in the Lord, the more He comes near to us, and the more He blesses us, the more He lifts us up. Did you know delight is one form of pleasure? I mean godly and righteous pleasure. And when you begin to sound that out, you can read what Jesus said in talking to the disciples. He said, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure." Or in other words, it's His delight to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you something that's full of glory. He wants to give you something that's full of beauty. He wants to give you something that's full of power and grace and love and full of every good thing you could ever think of. He delights to give that to you. And you and I can have it tonight because Jesus paid for it on the cross of Calvary. Not only did He pay for it there, but He guaranteed it when He rose from the dead and ascended back to the Father. He put a stamp of guarantee on it. And tonight it's certain and sure we can have that. Hallelujah. You can delight yourself in the Lord. You can have the desires of your heart. Over in the book of Acts, when they called the disciples before the Sanhedrin, and they threatened them, and they beat them, and they turned them loose and let them go back to their place. And they went back, and you know what they said? They said, God, that is, they counted it joy that they could suffer for Jesus Christ. And they said, God, just grant us this privilege by you stretching forth your hand to do miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Thank God forever. What were they doing? They were delighting themselves in the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He gave them the desires of their heart. What was the desire of their heart? That men and women would find Jesus Christ. They could be healed, they could be delivered, they could be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, and God granted them the desires of their heart, and He'll do it for you and for me tonight. Hallelujah to His name. But to do that, we must delight in Him. We must delight in Him. I'll go back again to the first one I first started out. When we're sitting in the congregation, and that's a good word for it, when we're sitting in the congregation, that's usually the full terminology. We're sitting in the congregation. But when we're worshiping in the congregation, that's when we're delighting in the Lord. That's when we're delighting in His presence. And thank the Lord as we delight in Him. The desires of our hearts are filled and our joy is made to flow. Thank God in the beauty of the Son of God is made manifest because we delight in Him. Hallelujah. God loves the praises of men. God loves the joyous sounds coming from the hearts and mouths of mankind in this present world. So why shouldn't we delight in Him? Now, one other scripture, and I'm going to cut this off short. Over in the book of Romans, let's see. Here's another thing that we can delight about if we'll just stop and think for it just for a moment. This in the 8th chapter of Romans, you've heard this over and over again, but there's a truth in this. Commencing at the 35th verse, and I think this was quoted possibly, maybe at least once Sunday, possibly twice. But there's such a greatness in it, such a greatness that we need to remember it and recall it. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He said, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Will these things separate us from Him? Will these destroy us? No. Why? Because we're delighting in Him. We're delighting in Him, and as we delight in Him, we can be like those apostles of old. Count it all joy. Count it all delight to suffer for Him. What does it matter? If we suffer a little while here, look at the glory that shall be revealed after a while. But that isn't all of it. He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Thank God. Now notice what he said. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor things to, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor light, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why shouldn't we delight in that? Why shouldn't we be happy in that? Why shouldn't we increase our praise and our glory and our honor unto Him? For I am persuaded that there is no power in existence, no power that was ever perceived by Satan, ever conceived by the prince of darkness, ever thought of by the prince of the powers of the air. There is no power that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can hold to Him. We can delight in Him. And as we delight in Him, He feeds us with the word of His righteousness, of His love, and His grace and glory. And we stand justified. We stand sanctified. We stand glorified. We stand filled with the power of the Holy God and ready to go when Jesus calls. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Oh yes, perilous times are here. I'm not denying that one little moment. And suffering times are here. I'm not denying that one little moment. And men love themselves more than they love anything else. I'm not denying that for one little moment. But tonight, because there are a few, because there still remain a few who love Jesus Christ more than life, who love the Lord more than anything in the world, there are still a few left. Hallelujah. And because of that few, the Lord is sparing and giving opportunity and opportunity and opportunity unto others to make their ways to Him. Thank God. Oh, tonight, when if we just, you and I, think about it just for a moment. Delight ourselves in the Lord. Delight ourselves in Him. Put a little effort into it. Thank God for the fruit of our lips, which is praise is unto God. put a little effort into it, and God will bless us as we delight in Him. Thank the Lord forever. If you had a new car, you'd be delighted, wouldn't you? If you didn't have to pay for it, it certainly would be a delight. But tonight, if you had a brand new house or a brand new car and it was all yours and it was paid for, it would be a delight, wouldn't it? It would be a pleasure. You'd just take people there and say, oh, look at what I've got. Look at what I have here. I've got something better than a house tonight. I've got something better than a brand new car tonight. You have too. If you know Jesus Christ and are pleased and satisfied and settled in Him, you've got something better than the world can offer. That's eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So delight in Him tonight and rejoice and say, my home is over there where Jesus lives. Thank God forever. My home is over there where the throne of God is, where all the angels are, and where the glory shines on and on and on. Tonight, delight yourself in Him. Don't let these other things bother you. Be concerned, yes, but won't let them worry you. Be concerned about others, but don't let them worry you. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can delight in that. Doesn't that kind of make you happy? Doesn't that kind of make you feel like that you've got something? Thank God forever that all the rest of the world would like to have if they just knew how to get it, if they just heard about it in a way that they could understand and come to Jesus. Oh, tonight, delight in that. Be delighted in that. And as you're delighted and as I delighted in those things, others will see and they'll say, I'd like to have that. I'd like to have that. Yes, the darkness is present. Yes, the hour is late. Yes, the time clock has almost expired, but my Lord is eternal. He'll never change, thank God. The only change that'll ever happen is that you and I can suddenly, as we said a while ago in the song, change in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and caught up to meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Why not delight in that? Glory be to God. Let the generations have their way. Noah did. He couldn't help it. He couldn't do anything about it. He told them, but he couldn't do anything about it. You know, just eight got out of there. Thank the Lord if just eight got out of here, I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them. If just eight got out of this city of Duncan, I'd like to be one of them. And I intend to, by the grace of God. And that makes me happy to know that they who trust in the Lord shall not be ashamed. I've got to quit. I want to tell you tonight, though, that the devil may come to you and he may give you a lot of problems and a lot of troubles. Thank God you can look that old boy in the face and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you may give me a lot of worry and you may cause me a lot of pain and sorrow, but I've got a home, thank God forever, that your finger can't touch. I've got a hope, thank God, that you can't destroy. His name is Jesus, and I'm living in Him tonight. Glory be to God forever, and nothing shall destroy me, for I delight in Him. Glory. I'm tickled tonight. I'm telling you for sure, there's something real in being a Christian. I'm not talking about a professor. I'm talking about a possessor of the reality, of the power and the glory and the beauty of Jesus Christ, the born-again, holy righteousness that's found in Jesus Christ. Somehow or other, that takes a lot of the worry and a lot of the fear and a lot of the problems. It sort of takes it all out of the way. And we look at the world and say, yes, I'd like for you to have this. But if you reject it, I'm going on anyhow. Amen. Amen. How many here tonight, you would like to be able to delight yourself more in the Lord? Let's see your hand. You know how to do that? That means you've got to put something into it. The Lord is not going to put all the delight in there. He'll put the seed of delight there. He'll put the wherewith that we can delight, He'll put that in there. But you and I have to delight ourselves in Him. We have to rejoice in that. Amen. And if you'd like to have that joy and that delight, it's there waiting for you. And I'd like for everyone, I didn't even look at my watch. I had to put it in my pocket, you see. I'd like for everyone, if you will, just to stand. And as you think about this in your mind and in your heart, let's come to the altar and pray. And as we come, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Would you come and pray? Down in my heart, Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay.